Summer is over and fall has begun, and with that, we begin a new season here at Playgirls Sex Pod. I'm Jamie Waxman, and you are listening to the Sex Podcast through Playgirl.com or possibly through iTunes or other podcast directories. Welcome. It's been a few weeks since I've been here. I've been out of town meaning out of New York. Now back in New York, watching the leaves change and the colors come into bloom. I love this time of year. And the air doesn't feel so humid. It just feels really nice and cool on your skin. It's also the time of year I celebrate my birthday. So I'm always very excited about that. Although, you know, after you turn 30, the years, like 1 or 2 years after that, they just kind of seem pretty uneventful in terms of age, not necessarily in terms of what you're doing in your life. And that's actually the more exciting part. And speaking of things I'm doing, I decided that this podcast would be two stories I've written recently. They're short stories, very short. I did them for a reading last week here in New York, the In the Flesh series hosted by Rachel Kramer Bussell. She's a Village Voice columnist and erotic fiction writer, very talented woman, and has been hosting this In the Flesh erotic reading series for a while now. Last Wednesday's was Revenge of the Sex Columnists, which just sounded like a lot of fun, and I was very lucky and fortunate to be a part of it. And I decided instead of talking about what it's like to be a sex columnist as a writer, I would talk about what it's like to be working in the sex industry and write about that. So there was my writing part of it. So the first story I'm going to read I thought was funny, but apparently it didn't get so many laughs. It was more just a true to life sort of story about what goes on in the adult industry. And this happened not so long ago when I was producing a film. And I just thought I'd give people a glimpse into what it's like to be a porn producer. Here you go. The director yells cut, but the action doesn't stop entirely. One actor sits on the couch, stroking himself to keep his shaft firm. The other actor looks down at the floor, his thoughts clearly displayed on his proverbial sleeve. If he could make himself disappear right now, he would, but he can't. It's one of two things he can't do, the other being maintain, let alone get an erection. The disappointment spreads to the actress he's supposed to fuck. She can't believe that she's not getting laid, so she sits on the couch making out with the other couple, because nobody wants to acknowledge the elephant in the room. But it's hard not to watch him. His limp dick looks like taffy, and he just keeps pulling on it. In this downward motion, he'll pull and pull. The director walks over to them to prep all four for the final climax, the two men and two women, a young couple from New Jersey and a couple of strangers, an LA actress with a combustible boob job, and a Midwestern boy who's not in Kansas anymore. "Don't worry if you can't get it up," she tells Mr. Midwest. "Just continue to fuck her like you can." She walks back to the camera. The Jersey boy, he's ready. In order to ensure his orgasm, he hasn't actually come in over a week. Armed and dangerous, he's ready to shoot his load anywhere. But we're not going to capture this big bang on film, so the director tells him to come where he wants, just as long as it's not on camera. He now seems disappointed, too. I'm talking with the director, making a list of things she needs to cover before we can wrap the scene. The list includes things like explicit shots, meaning, did she get enough shots of pussy lips and rock-solid cock? Did she get enough wide and close-up shots of the in-and-out motion? Did she get enough soft coverage, enough cover-ups of hard cock and spreadable pussy? Because on cable TV, you can see violence and abuse, but you can't see erections or clits. We're ready. She stands back behind the monitor. With the first action, real breasts bounce on the couch, while fake breasts move ever so slightly. The LA actress takes charge and slips her finger in between the other lady's legs. They exchange common porn niceties, things like, "You're so wet. I want to taste you. Come on me." And eventually, women's orgasms spray the floor and wet the carpet. Of course, with the way things are going, we don't actually record these on camera. And with that, the director calls the final action. Let's back up for a minute. This isn't like all the other porn being made in LA. For starters, we're in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, at an actual, albeit small, soundstage. Our crew is all indie film people, and we find out in production that our director of photography, lead camera guy, was raised Mormon and has issues getting close to the fucking. I'm the co-writer and producer, and it's my first time doing a feature-length film. The director is a well-known pioneer of couples and female-friendly erotica. The director won't even call our stuff porn, and I sort of agree, although I also think we need to reclaim the wood. Word. We're not doing cum shots or pops, as they're so affectionately termed in the industry. No ATMs, ass to mouth, which is so hygienically wrong, by the way. In fact, no A's, and we require our actors to actually act. Not an easy task in and of itself. But right now, they're fucking, or at least two of them are, while the other two politely pretend. And he's about as good at pretending as Ashley Simpson is at lip-syncing. I guess that's not as bad as what happened the night before when one of our actresses quit at 1:30 in the morning on the day of her shoot. Try finding another adult actress in New York with that type of notice. It would have been the hottest sex scene in the movie. A self-assured femme makes an appointment with a dominatrix and, sort of against the dom's will, but not really because that would constitute rape, takes her down. She didn't even have to get naked. She was going to strap on a 7-inch pink glitter cock and fuck the dom's brains out. And now the scene, it's gone. That's not all. The auditions, that was a freak show. Some women just weren't right for the part, but other women weren't right in the head. Like the one who had her boyfriend call me 2 days after the audition to try to sue me for not giving his girlfriend the role. His girlfriend happens to be a cracked out, pill-popping, emaciated actress whose voice makes nails on a chalkboard sound good. Or the 50-something New Jersey woman who told me that even if she doesn't get a part, could I spread the word about her escort service? And my favorite was the irate transgendered heroin addict with the bulging Adam's apple who thought she could direct herself better than we could. With no one to turn to, the director asks me to do it, but I have another part in the film. Besides producer and co-writer, I'm getting caned in a scene, and I'm not prepared to go from spank to screw. It's not that I've never been with a woman, but it's been a while, and I have a partner to talk this over with now. Plus, I don't have the industry standard HIV-STI test, and I'm not emotionally prepared to fuck on camera. All I want to do is cry. But I can't cry. I have my big scene, remember, the caning one? And I don't want red puffy eyes, just a red puffy ass. With half of the crew just sitting around, we rewrite the script. And now the script is rewritten and he can't get it up. It's cool. I mean, you can fake it or bring your own Viagra. That's okay. This is acting in some loose sense of the word. But this is a lot to go wrong for one shoot. And as the two couples pretend to dig it, I notice that we're digging into the production budget as well. Time is money and we are in overtime. And with every I'm growing more impatient. I don't even notice them fucking anymore. All I hear is the ticking of the second hand on my watch. There's a beautiful moment of me caught on tape. I'm like the biggest bitch ever, really. And as they moan in the background, I look straight into the behind-the-scenes camera and say, I can't believe that we're going into overtime. Sometimes when you're around too much sex, it becomes that much less sexy. Still, the video gets done and it comes out soon, November or January. And while one actor can't get it up, and one actress has let us down, I'm learning that these are the ups and downs of the industry. And truthfully, I am enjoying the ride. So that was piece number one. Not all that funny, but, you know, a little insight into the adult industry. And for those of you who don't know what caning is, it's getting hit in the butt, or I guess other places as well, with a wooden stick. And it was a lot of fun. She missed a couple times to hit my ribs, but I am such a good sport and such a high tolerance for pain that I just let it go. Yeah. And this is what I do believe I should win, the Adult AVN Award for Best Non-Sex Role in an Adult Movie. Okay, here's the second piece, and this one's about splashing. And for those of you who just don't know what splashing is, you should find out in this piece, and that would make me happy. Okay, the glamorous life of working in adults. Little did I know that my directorial debut in adult cinema would come courtesy of a fetishist named Lenny. Lenny Sorge, a fiscally conservative, socially liberal Republican, had come across my friend Abby's website and requested to film her dressed up and creamed. By creamed, he meant smeared in the face with pies. Lenny is a short, plushy, middle-aged man with a comb-over, the kind of guy my grandmother would refer to as nebbishy. He lives with his father in the same fiscally conservative, socially liberal home he grew up in, and that's where he first discovered that he loves pie. And I mean loves. While other teenagers got turned on by secretly watching Playboy, Lenny got hard during The Three Stooges. For Lenny, the money shot, it's a pie facial. The night before this all happens, I run into Abby on the street. She casually mentions that tomorrow she's going splashing. There's this guy in New Jersey. He has a pie fetish, and he's going to take me to some hotel and hit me in the face with pies. Will you come and take pictures? While she seems more excited about the pay, he's going to buy her an expensive corset to thank her. I'm into the pies. I wonder about the flavors, chocolate and coconut cream, and if maybe he would even generously let me eat a slice. No, he won't. I see this as a splashing opportunity, but I also realize that my friend is going alone to a hotel room with some complete stranger she's met on the internet, and he's planning to throw pies in her face. She can't go alone. So I decide I will risk my life as well. The next day we set out on our splashing adventure. I armed with my digital camera and she with one rubber outfit and one lacy one, a tiara and waterproof makeup. Lenny has everything else, including the video camera and drop cloths, and he rents the hotel room. The hotel room is nicer than you'd expect for one of those pay-by-the-hour type places right off the Jersey Turnpike. It has a large bed and a desk, your hotel basics. There are mirrors everywhere, though, on the ceiling, on the back wall, even on the closets. It's a room designed for sex. In the corner of the room sits four large, ordinary brown boxes. Lenny has brought them here before picking us up in Manhattan. As a bargain pie shopper, Lenny orders his pies from Walmart. He says they have the best prices, even though all pies come from the same place, he tells me. Even if you order them in Florida or in Los Angeles, all the boxes come from Indiana. Lenny knows because he's been shooting beautiful women getting pied for the past 13 years. He sells his videos online for $30 a piece, and he has a clientele of hundreds. Abby emerges from the bathroom all dolled up. Lenny positions her for the camera and explains that he's basically going to mush pies in her face. He wants her to rub them all over the rest of her body, and that's it. Lenny climbs up on a chair to smash the first pie over her head. It starts dripping down her hair and into her eyes. "Don't touch it," Lenny directs. "Let it melt its way down you." He slams the second pie in her face. Pie shrapnel flies everywhere. She can't see or breathe, but I can hear her giggling. He's heading at her with pie number three. "Will you work the camera?" he asks me as his breath gets shorter and his pants get tighter. I quickly oblige. He really enjoys shoving pies at Abby, and she gets into it too. After 16 pies are thrown in her face, he asks her to shower and change clothes so he can do it again. The room now smells like warm dairy, a scent I would never want to bottle and wear. Splashing is like erotic slapstick, Lenny tells me, and I see what he's saying. Each time Abby gets hit, she looks ridiculous and sexy and sloppy, and all three of us laugh. 32 pies, one tiara, and 8 soiled drop cloths later, the shoot winds down. Driving back, we talk of cakes and other pastries, and I realize my perception of dessert has changed forever. I will never see a bakery the same again. Once again, these were both from the In the Flesh reading series held the third Wednesday of every month, I believe, at the Happy Ending Lounge on Broome Street here in New York City. And this was from the Revenge of the Sex Columnists reading series. I believe In the Flesh's blog is inthefleshreadingseries.blogspot.com. But I'm going to double check right now as I'm talking to you and let you know that it is or is not such the thing. It is in the flesh readingseries.blogspot.com. I am right. So check it out and be sure to check out Playgirl Sex Pod's past editions if you haven't already, and future editions because it's a season of sex. I'm Jamie Waxman. Please check out my website at jamiewaxman.com. That's JamieWaxman.com. And come again and again and throw that pie in your face one more time.